I felt as if my home had been transformed by burglars and ruined by voracious worms. Belongings, possessions, affection, nothing was left but the faithful heart of one daughter. All the long years of suffering and torment in the dark regions beyond the tomb, even the bewildering agony of the first days after death, had not made me shed such heartbreaking tears. The night came and went, and a new day dawned, finding me in the same perplexing condition, hearing words and witnessing attitudes I could never had imagined. In the evening Clarence came to see me as he had promised. Seeing how desperate I was, he tried to comfort me with friendly and wise words. "I understand your sorrow, but I can't help rejoicing at this splendid opportunity. I have no new instructions for you, as any advice now would be inopportune. However, my dear friend, I can't forget the recommendations of Jesus to love God above all things and our neighbor as ourselves. This, when followed, works real miracles of happiness and understanding in our lives." I thanked him with emotion, and asked for his continued support. Clarence smiled and left. Then, facing bitter reality, absolutely alone in this hour of trial, I began to meditate on the meaning of the gospel's command. Gradually my thoughts became calmer. After all, why condemn Zelia's actions? Had I been the spouse left alone on earth, would I, perhaps, have borne the prolonged solitude? Wouldn't I have found a thousand excuses to justify a second marriage? And why hate the poor, sick man? Wasn't he also my brother, in the house of our Lord? Our home might be in even worse conditions if Zelia hadn't accepted his support. It was necessary for me to fight and conquer my ruthless selfishness. Jesus had led me to new sources of enlightenment, and I could no longer act as a simple man on earth. My family no longer consisted of only a wife and three children, but was made up of hundreds of patients in the chamber of rectification. It expanded to include the whole universal community. As I gave myself up to this new trend of thoughts, I felt that true love was beginning to flow from the blessed wounds which had been inflicted on my heart. Chapter 50, A Citizen of the Astral City. I felt terribly tired the second night. I was beginning to realize the value of spiritual nourishment through mutual love and understanding. In the astral city I could go for several days of active work without ordinary food. The presence of our dear friends, their affection, the absorption of pure elements through the air and water had been enough to refresh me. Here, however, in my earthly home, there was nothing except a battlefield where my loved ones had ceased to be my friends. I thought about Clarence's inspiring words, and they brought some peace and comfort to my heart. For the first time I began to understand human needs. I was not Zelia's keeper, but her brother and friend. Likewise, I was not my children's master, but their companion along the road to spiritual enlightenment. I recalled Laura telling me that we should all act like the bees, approaching the flowers of life, the memories of the noble souls we have met along the path, and extracting from each the substance of good examples, to acquire the honey of wisdom. I decided to take her advice and began by remembering my mother, who had sacrificed herself to return to the earth and adopt those unhappy women as beloved daughters. Similar edifying examples abound in the astral city. Minister Veneranda had been working for centuries for the benefits of the spiritual group closely related to her. Narcisa was serving in the chambers to obtain spiritual endorsement of a return to the physical world to help her loved ones. Hilda had overcome the dragon of inferior jealousy. And what about the countless gestures of fraternity I had received from my friends in the colony? Clarence had welcomed me with the devotion of a father, Lizia's mother had received me as a son, and Tobias had made me his brother. Each of my new friends had offered me something useful to help me build up a new mental attitude. I tried to distance myself from the apparent ingratitude I found in my old home. With divine love above all, I put the needs of my fellow man before my own personal sentiments. Though extremely tired, I entered the room of the sick man, whose condition worsened from moment to moment. Zelia was standing by the bed holding his head in her arms. In tears, she pleaded. Ernest, Ernest, have pity on me. Don't leave me, my darling. What will become of me if you die? The sick man caressed her hands and managed to answer with intense affection, in spite of the strong dyspnea that affected him. I prayed to the Lord to grant me the strength necessary to be understandable, and to consider this couple as my brother and sister. I could see that Zelia and Ernest loved each other deeply, and if I truly wanted to be their brother, I must certainly do everything in my power to help them. I set to work. I began by trying to enlighten the ignorant entities who kept a close link with the patient. My difficulties were enormous, and I felt exhausted. In this emergency, I remembered that Tobias had once told me that not all the inhabitants of the astral city needed an Airbus for transportation. Those more evolved could use volitation as a more convenient means. They could also communicate over long distances mind to mind, using thought language. Those who are attuned use the process of mental communication at will, regardless of distance. I remember how useful Narcissa's help would be, and made up my mind to try. I concentrated, and in the vibrations of a fervent prayer to God I addressed Narcissa, asking for her help. I told her mentally of my painful experience and my great desire to help, and pleaded urgently with her not to abandon me. Then the unexpected happened. After some 20 minutes, while I was still concentrated in my prayer, I felt a light touch on my shoulder. It was Narcissa, who had answered my call. "I've heard your call, my friend," she said, smiling, "and here I am. I couldn't have been more happy." The devoted nurse looked around and immediately understood the gravity of the circumstances. "We don't have time to waste," she said. She immediately began applying strengthening passes to the patient, raising a barrier between him and the dark entities, who disappeared as if by magic. Then she turned to me and said firmly, "We must resort to nature." I followed her promptly. Sensing my curiosity, she explained, "Man is not the only one to receive and emit fluids. All nature does the same. In our patient's case, we need the trees. They will be a great help to us." Wondering at this new lesson, I followed her in silence. After arriving at a place filled with enormous trees, Narcissa called out to someone with words I couldn't understand. In a few moments, 8 spirit entities responded. To my great surprise, I saw Narcissa ask them whether there were mango and eucalyptus trees in the neighborhood. Having received the required information from her friends, who were unknown to me, Narcissa turned to me and explained, "The brothers who have just come to our aid are ordinary workers in the vegetable kingdom," said Narcissa. Seeing my wonder, she continued, "You see, there is nothing useless in our father's house. Wherever there are those needing instruction, there will also be those willing to teach. Whenever a difficulty arises, providence comes in. The only unfortunate being in the divine creation is the improvident spirit who condemns himself to the abysses of evil." With the emanations of the eucalyptus and mango trees, Narcissa quickly manipulated a certain substance, which we applied to the patient through his ordinary breathing and by absorption through his skin. Ernest improved visibly. Early the next morning the doctor observed, extremely surprised, "What an extraordinary reaction. A real miracle of nature." Zelia was happy, and the house was full of life again. As for myself, I felt great joy in my heart. Deep courage and beautiful hopes reinvigorated me. I recognized that, deep down within me, the strong chains of inferiority had been broken forever, and true brotherly love and a sincere wish to serve had taken their place. That same day I followed Narcissa back to the astral city. For the first time, I tried volitation. In a moment's time we had covered great distances. The banner of happiness unfurled in my soul. I told the generous nurse about the lightness I was feeling, and she explained, "In the astral city, a great number of our friends could easily do without the Airbus and go about on their own within the areas of our vibratory range, but as the majority have not yet acquired that faculty, we all abstain from using it in public places. This abstention, however, doesn't impede us from using it outside of town, when it is necessary to cover long distances and save time. A higher comprehension and new joy enriched my spirit. Instructed by Narcissa, I went to and from between the earthly house and the spiritual city without any great difficulty. I was thus able to intensify the treatment of Ernest, who improved rapidly. Clarence visited me daily and showed himself satisfied with my work. At the end of the week, my first leave of absence from the chambers of rectification had come to an end. Ernest's health was restored and the couple, whom I now loved as my dear brother and sister, were happy again. It was time, now, to return to my duties. In the peaceful light of a gorgeous sunset, I left for the astral city totally changed. In those 7 short days I had learned precious practical lessons in understanding and brotherly love. The sublime beauty of the evening filled my mind with lofty thoughts. How great is divine providence! I said to myself. How wisely the Almighty plans our work and life situations. How He attends to His creation with such love. All of a sudden something broke my meditation. Over 200 of my companions were coming in my direction. They greeted me joyously, giving me a generous welcome. Lysias, Lysinia, Narcissa, Silveira, Tobias, Celestius and many other workers from the chambers were there. Taken by surprise, I was at a loss and did not know what to do. It was then that Minister Clarence came forward, holding out his hand. André, until now you have been my pupil in this city. Today, in the name of the governor, I declare you a citizen of the Astral City. Why such magnanimity when my triumph was so small? I couldn't hold back the tears of emotion which choked my voice. Thinking about the wisdom of divine mercy, I threw myself into Clarence's fatherly arms, crying out of gratitude and joy. End. It is also a film made around this book.